So it was like it put us in such a helpless situation that we couldn't. That means Prabhupada is going to fast. And I thought that it was like Srila Prabhupada is going to leave his body or prepare for leaving his body like Parikshit Maharaj, just fasting, waiting for the time for him to leave his body. So, Kamakrishna Maharaj was Prabhupada's secretary at the time, and I were discussing what to do, and both of us felt extremely helpless, like what could we do? Now, in the meantime, the news reached all over the world to the devotees, and many leading devotees came to Vrindavan, and they had a meeting. And in that meeting, it was decided that we cannot let Srila Prabhupada leave now. We are so young. We are like children in our spiritual life. And we cannot afford to let Srila Prabhupada go now. If Srila Prabhupada leaves now, then we'll become orphans. And what will happen to us? I was not present in that meeting. I was serving Srila Prabhupada. Like those days, three of us actually, Kamalakrishna Maharaj, Upendra Prabhu and myself, we had to constantly be with Srila Prabhupada practically. Other than the devotees were there, but three of us had to be with Srila Prabhupada all the time. And sometimes we had to make shifts. Even at night, we would have shifts. For 2 hours, one of us would be with Srila Prabhupada. And so Kamalakrishna Maharaj was in that meeting. I don't know whether Upendra Prabhu was there, but I was with Srila Prabhupada. And although Srila Prabhupada told me not to force him to eat, and Prabhupada told me not to cook for him, but I was, from time to time, I used to make some fresh fruit juice and used to keep that next to Srila Prabhupada, just in case Prabhupada wanted to drink something. And in this way, for 3 days, Prabhupada didn't eat anything, and Prabhupada didn't drink anything also. And I don't remember Prabhupada even drinking anything, not even water. So then, the devotees came to Prabhupada's room. Can somebody give Shyamalal Prabhu a chair to sit down, please? Just anyway, somebody arrange a chair for Shyamalal Prabhu. So, Srila Prabhupada, the devotees came to Srila Prabhupada. And all those days, Prabhupada was just lying in his bed, and he was not talking also, like, I mean, it was clear that Prabhupada was just preparing to leave his body. And after that meeting, the devotees, the senior devotees, there was a group of senior devotees, and Kirtanananda Swami was actually one of Prabhupada's first disciples. Those days he was considered to be the senior most. So Kirtanananda Swami spoke on behalf of all the devotees. Prabhupada, we are so young in our spiritual life. By your mercy, our spiritual life just began. We are just newly born in our spiritual life. And if you leave now, what will happen to us? We'll become orphans. And you are a pure devotee of Krishna. If you want to stay, then Krishna will make arrangements for you to stay. Krishna will let you stay. So please, for our sake, you stay. Please don't leave us. And saying that, he just broke down crying. And then Prabhupada very affectionately told him that, okay, if you all want, then I'll stay. And everybody became so jubilant. And then Prabhupada just said, looked at me and said, give me something to drink. And I had some pomegranate juice made there. I don't distinctly remember actually whether it was pomegranate juice or red grape juice, either of them. I remember the color was red, but I do not quite remember whether it was pomegranate or grape. Anyway, so I had it right by Prabhupada's bedside on a table. I gave it to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada sat up on his bed and he just drank it. And then I started to cook again for Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada also started to eat. So then one day Prabhupada asked me, do you know where is Gopinath Bazar? I said, Prabhupada, this is my first visit to Vrindavan and I didn't even step out of the temple. But please tell me what you want. Vrindavan is a small place, I can find out. Prabhupada said, no, get somebody who is local and just call somebody who is local. And those days, I didn't want to miss any opportunity to serve Srila Prabhupada. So, I just told Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, please tell me what you want. And Vrindavan is just a small place. I can find out where it's opening up the sun. It won't be difficult. And then Prabhupada said, okay, you go to Gopinath Bazar and there is an Ayurvedic doctor. His name is Banomali Kaviraj. And you tell him about me. He knows me from the early days. And Prabhupada was so humble. Like actually those days, everybody in Vrindavan knew Srila Prabhupada. But Prabhupada, you know, told that, you tell him that I used to live in Radha Damodar temple and he used to come and treat me. So, anyway, it was not difficult to find Gopinath Bazar. I went. And it was also not difficult to find Banomali Kaviraj. He had a small little chamber, just a small room. And he was a very old man. At that time, he was 92 years old. Srila Prabhupada was 82, and he was 92 years old. And so I told him about Srila Prabhupada. And so he immediately remembered Srila Prabhupada. And actually, those days, everyone in Vrindavan knew about Srila Prabhupada. Actually, the Brijbasis used to consider that Srila Prabhupada was their pride. Srila Prabhupada took the glory of Vrindavan and spread it all over the world. So, this Banomali Kaviraj then recognized Srila Prabhupada, and when he told him that Prabhupada wanted him to treat him, Then he told, look, I am so old, I cannot go anywhere. Can you bring him here? I said, no, Prabhupada's condition is very bad. So why don't you come? And he said that how difficult, he told me how difficult it was for him to come, or rather to go to our temple. But I insisted, I told him that I'll take you in a rickshaw. And he said, rickshaw, with every bump of the rickshaw, my bones will crack. And I begged him and begged him, practically I fell at his feet and I said, please come and take Shri Prabhupada. So finally he agreed and I took him to the temple in a rickshaw. And he checked Shri Prabhupada. And then he told me, see, the problem is that the medicine that I would give, they have to be freshly made. So I told him, why don't you stay here in a guest house and make arrangements for you to stay? Then he said, no, I have to go. I can't stay away from you. And those were our problems, were not sensitive enough to his age. Like I was so preoccupied with Srila Prabhupada's that I didn't really have that sensitivity about a very old person. He was such a nice man. Although he was 92 years old, but he was quite strong, like in that way. For a 92 years old, he was not really, I mean, he was actually quite active and agile. And then when he told me that he won't be able to stay, then I told him, then why don't you teach me how to make that medicine? So I will make that medicine. I'll prepare that medicine. So he accepted that idea. He took me to the field and he showed me a couple of herbs. One is called Punarnava and the other is called Pathar Kuchi. The two, I had to collect the leaves of these two plants. And then he gave some salt. So we crushed the leaves and extracted the juice of these two leaves. And then we mixed the salt, these two salts that he gave. And he asked me to give it to Srila Prabhupada three times a day. And I used to collect the herbs from the field and prepare the medicine, and I started to give the medicine. And every day I used to take Srila Prabhupada's car and go to check Srila Prabhupada. And he started to treat Srila Prabhupada. But then, and Prabhupada's health started to improve, Prabhupada's condition started to improve, Prabhupada was getting better. But when Prabhupada got better, he was feeling restless. He wanted to go out. He wanted to go to the West. So when I told Banamali Kaviraj about that Prabhupada wanted to go to the West, he told me, please don't let him go. The medicine is working. His health is getting better. And when the winter comes, I will give him Makarad Dhaj. And that Makarad Dhaj will build him up. And by the time his constitution will become stronger, and the winter, the cold of the winter also will help him to absorb Makarad Dhaj. He didn't want to give Makarad Dhaj at that time. And anyway, so, but Prabhupada was very adamant in going. I, of course, couldn't tell Srila Prabhupada. Actually, those days, our attitude towards Srila Prabhupada was that Prabhupada knows everything and we cannot tell Prabhupada what to do or what not to do. But I told Tamakrishna Maharaj, and Tamakrishna Maharaj told me, look, what can we do? Prabhupada wants to go. And Prabhupada actually made the plan. that he will go first to London, from London to New York, New York to Gitanagari, from Gitanagari to Los Angeles, and from Los Angeles he will go to Hawaii, and he would stay in Hawaii and transit. So that was Prabhupada's plan. And but afterwards I used to lament, why didn't I tell all the senior members and told them what Banavali Kavir had said, and probably they could have. If all the senior devotees told Prabhupada not to go but continue with the treatment, then Prabhupada would have been with us for longer. And anyway, those days I was just a young devotee, only few months in the movement. And in the meantime, Prabhupada gave me sannyas. Like Prabhupada, one day, he just got to know that Prabhupada was planning to give me sannyas. And that created a little controversy, because some senior devotees thought that I was too new in the movement, too young to take sannyas. And but Prabhupada waved that complaint out, so waved those objections aside, and he gave me sannyas. Actually, I got the sannyas in just 2 days' time. I got to know that Prabhupada is giving me sannyas the day after tomorrow. And I remember that right after getting, those days I used to cook for Srila Prabhupada. So when I got the news, some of the senior devotees, Tamalkrishna Maharaj and other devotees came to me in the kitchen, when I was cooking for him, and they told me that Prabhupada decided to give me sannyas. And then to me, Prabhupada is giving me sannyas. I kept on cooking. And then after cooking, after feeding Srila Prabhupada, then I went to Loi Bazaar to buy the stuff for my sannyas clothes and sannyas danda. And the next day we wrapped the danda. And right after getting my sannyas, I went to the kitchen, started to cook for Srila Prabhupada. So it was quite an experience. Anyway, so Prabhupada then decided to go first to London. And so at night Prabhupada was all ready. It was midnight, around 1 o'clock. Prabhupada had to leave for the airport, Delhi airport. The flight was early in the morning. So Prabhupada was all dressed up, he was sitting on his chair, and I was sitting at his feet. So Prabhupada asked me, "Aren't you coming?" I said, "No, Srila Prabhupada. Actually at that time I didn't have my passport with me." So Prabhupada just, I told Prabhupada that I didn't have my passport with me. So Prabhupada said, "Okay, then you join me in Hawaii." So Prabhupada was all set to go to London, New York, Gitanagari, LA, and then to Hawaii. Little did I know at that time that then Prabhupada went to London, and there Prabhupada's health condition deteriorated. So after about 7 days in London, Srila Prabhupada came back to Vrindavan, first to Bombay. So in the meantime, when Prabhupada was gone, I went back to my I went back to my pool and I was just planning to, if Prabhupada wanted, then I would go and join him. So then Prabhupada, then one day I received a telegram. The telegram was sent by Ramakrishna Maharaj. So it read, Prabhupada wants you to come to Vrindavan immediately. I just got the news that Prabhupada came back to Bombay, but I didn't know how bad Srila Prabhupada's health condition was. And I also didn't know that Prabhupada already went to Vrindavan. So the next day I took a flight to Delhi and then to Vrindavan. And when I arrived in Vrindavan, it was in the evening. And Upendra Prabhu just told me, please come in. And he took me to Prabhupada's room. And the room was almost in dark. There was a little, small, little, very little dim light. And the whole room was filled with frankincense. And I saw Prabhupada lying on his bed. And it seemed like Prabhupada was already, Prabhupada's body became very emaciated, but now it had become even more emaciated. Like sitting at the corner of the room, like Prabhupada's body was practically in the same level with the bed, and just his head was sticking out. So, and Prabhupada was taking rest. So at one time, Prabhupada just woke up coughing. So Upendra immediately went to attend Srila Prabhupada. And then he told Prabhupada that I was there. And Prabhupada said, where is he? Ask him to come. So I went to Srila Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada asked me to help him to sit up. So I helped Prabhupada to sit up on his bed. And I propped him up with the pillows. And then I told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you have become so thin. And Prabhupada said, yes. Now this body is just a bag of skin with few bones in it. And it was literally like that. Prabhupada's body became very, very thin. It was just some bone and skin. It became very thin. But still Prabhupada was asking how, where I was, what I was doing, and I told him that I was in Mayapur. So Prabhupada asked how everything was in Mayapur. And when I told him that many people were coming to Mayapur, those very many people knew, 20-30 people were coming to Mayapur, I would think, and many people came. Now it is 4,000 or 5,000 people come every day. So Prabhupada was very happy to hear that. And in this way, my service again resumed to serve Srila Prabhupada. But Prabhupada was not eating anything. He practically stopped eating. Only sometimes he would take some fruit juice. Sometimes he would take some water with mishri water. He would put mishri, rock candy, sugar candy, in water, and it will automatically, it will melt, and Prabhupada will take that. And sometimes I'll give him some milk and half water. But he was not taking anything solid. And at that time, Kirtananda Swami and his assistant Kuladri Prabhu also came, and they also were assisting in serving Srila Prabhupada. And Kirtananda Swami was actually taking control of Prabhupada's food and drink. They would sometimes make some soup, which sometimes Prabhupada took, but Prabhupada didn't like that so much. So one day Prabhupada's sister came to Vrindavan, Pishima. We used to call her Pishima in Bengali. The father's sister is called Pishima. So to us, she was our Pishima, Prabhupada's sister. So one day Pishima came, and so I told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Pishima came. And Prabhupada asked her to come. So I told her, I brought her into Prabhupada's room. And Prabhupada was lying in his bed, and Pishima was there, and I was between Prabhupada and Pishima. Prabhupada was not communicating directly with her. Prabhupada was asking me to ask her. So like Prabhupada said, ask her whether she would like to cook for me. So actually Pishima used to love to cook for Srila Prabhupada. But often Pishima used to cook so rich that the devotees used to become little worried. And that Pishima, they were a little worried about Pishima cooking for Srila Prabhupada, even when Prabhupada's health condition was better, much better. But now Prabhupada was not actually eating, but just to please Pishima. Prabhupada said, ask her if she would like to cook for me. Then I asked Pishima. Actually, Pishima could hear Prabhupada, what Prabhupada said, but still I relayed it to her. Pishima, Prabhupada said, Prabhupada asked what you would like to cook for him. Then Pishima said, ask him what he would like to eat. So I said, Prabhupada, Pishima is asking what you would like to eat. Prabhupada said, you ask her what she would like to cook. And then they started to converse directly. Then finally Prabhupada said, okay, you can make some khichdi for me. And so Pishima just walked to the kitchen and I walked behind her to assist her. And Kirtananda Swami was not very pleased with that arrangement. He didn't want Pishima to cook for Srila Prabhupada, nor did he want Prabhupada to eat. And anyway, Prabhupada asked Pishima to cook khichdi, but Pishima actually cooked a feast with many, many preps. And so, in the meantime, Kirtananda Swami was telling Prabhupada not to eat that. Prabhupada said, look, she wants to cook for me. So, and then I told Srila Prabhupada, then Kirtananda Swami was insisting in this way. So Prabhupada said, look, she just wants to cook. So make her. And Kirtananda Swami still kept on insisting. And finally Prabhupada said, see, I am already a dead man. So if I die eating or if I die fasting, it's the same thing. And then the prasad was ready. I came to tell Prabhupada that the prasad is ready. Then Prabhupada, at that time Kirtananda Swami came in and said, Prabhupada, you are not going to eat that. So that was Prabhupada became very upset. Prabhupada told him, and why are you doing this? I told you that I wanted her to cook. So why are you doing this? And then he told him that never ever think that you know more than your spiritual master. And this was so heavy for Kirtananda Swami And unfortunately, that day or the next day, he left Vrindavan. Anyway, he brought the prasad. Actually, generally, otherwise, Srila Prabhupada used to go and sit on the table. And there was a place where Prabhupada used to sit on a sit. And there was a table in front of him, and then Prabhupada used to eat from there. But this time, Prabhupada's health condition was so weak that there was no consideration, no question of Prabhupada going to eat sitting on the table. So I brought the plate on the bed and put some cloth and put the plate on there, and Prabhupada, he didn't eat as much, just took a little bite. And I could see it was only to please Vishnu, because she wanted to cook. And one day Prabhupada told me that she is a Vaishnavi. She was initiated by her Guru Maharaj. So although his sister, Prabhupada treated her as a Vaishnavi, and he was initiated by his Guru Maharaj. And I also remember Prabhupada told Bhishma, if he ever committed any offense to her, to forgive him. Prabhupada had a very sweet relationship with Vishnu. Vishnu also was so, like, she often used to come and try to spend as much time as possible with Srila Prabhupada. Later on, she moved into Mayapur, and she actually left her body in Mayapur. And she was very affectionate. All of us. And in this way, Srila Prabhupada was, he had such a wonderful time with Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan. Devotees used to come, and there was no darshan for Srila Prabhupada those days. Prabhupada was just lying in bed. And devotees used to come in small groups, and they used to do kirtan, soft kirtan. Prabhupada used to like some devotees' kirtan very much. One was Hansudutta's kirtan, Prabhupada liked. Bharadaj Prabhu's kirtan, Prabhupada liked. And so Prabhupada liked sweet, soft kirtan, and the devotees, we used to use a small kartal, and the mridanga also used to be played very softly. Sometimes devotees used to play harmonium, but Prabhupada didn't like that, because if they are not so expert in playing harmonium, Prabhupada didn't like it. Because Prabhupada himself was a very wonderful musician. So one day, Bharadaj Prabhu was singing, playing the harmonium. So Prabhupada told me, tell him not to play the harmonium. And then I went, and Bharadaj Prabhu stopped, but he kept on singing. So then after some time, Prabhupada asked me, who is singing? So I said, Bharadaj Prabhu. Prabhupada said, then he can play the harmonium. Because he was a very good musician himself, so Prabhupada. Hansudutta also. Hansudutta often used to sing the Govindam Adi Purusha. He had a very sweet voice, and he had a very beautiful style of leading kirtan. Very unique style of leading. Singing Guru Brahma's Sankirtan. And it still rings in my ears like those days, especially in the evenings. There used to be a small lamp in Prabhupada's room, and the devotees used to sit, three full devotees, and singing Govinda, Adi Krishna, Ramakrishna. When Prabhupada's health condition was not so bad, Prabhupada used to give darshan. And one day, Mr. Dalmia came. He is a very eminent industrialist from Delhi. Jaidayal Dalmia, the main Dalmia, with three of his daughters-in-law and some of his grandchildren. At that time, our Gurukul was just opened. So Prabhupada was speaking to Mr. Dalmia, and he was urging Mr. Dalmia to send his grandchildren to Gurukul. Prabhupada told him that the modern education, what is going on in the name of education, is actually Shudra education. This education is meant only to get a job. To get a job means the occupation of a Shudra. Only a Shudra takes up a job. The Brahmana, Kshatriya and Vaishya, they do not take up a job. They have independent occupation. Brahman will never take up a job, nor will a Kshatriya or a Vaishya. So it's the Shudras only who take up a job. And this education is simply to get a job. They complete the education to get a certificate so that they can get a job. And Prabhupada told him that your grandchildren don't need to take up a job. Rather, they should become the leaders of the society, the ideal leaders, the real leaders of the society. And in order to become a leader, one must have proper spiritual understanding. And then Prabhupada explained how in the early days, the kings of India used to be the Rajarshis. They're kings, but they were rishis with perfect spiritual understanding. And when Rajarshis were ruling, then India was the country that was leading the whole world. It was the Indian kings who were ruling over the entire world, including the oceans. Sa Sagara Prithivi Adhishma. They were the rulers of the king, entire earth planet, Prithivi. Sa Sagara, along with the oceans, including the oceans. Not only they were ruling over the land part, they were ruling the entire earth planet, including the oceans. And they were the ideal leaders, and the world situation at that time was perfect. And India at that time was the most glorious country. And Prabhupada was very forcefully telling him that your grandchildren, your children, don't need to take up a job, don't need to become a Shudra. They have to become the leaders of the society. And in order to become an ideal leader, there is a need for spiritual knowledge. Because without spiritual knowledge, where they will lead? How can a blind man lead others? Who doesn't know where to go, how can he lead? Who himself doesn't know where to go, how can he lead others to that destination, to that goal? And later on, I got to know Jaidayal Dalmia's son, one of his sons, Ajay Hari Dalmia. And Ajay Hari told me that his father was so impressed after that meeting of Srila Prabhupada that he was thinking of sending his children, not his children, rather his son. Ajay Hari's son is Abhishek, and he was thinking of sending Abhishek to the Gurukul. And that's a very wonderful family, actually. I had the good fortune of getting to know their family very well. Like, they are very pakka, they are very sattvic in their behavior. At home, they wear pig shoes, wooden shoes. All of them have sikha. Although they are one of the richest families of India, their children also have sikha. Abhishek, I mean, of course, I didn't see him for about last 10 years, but when I saw him last time, I saw that he is carrying a sikha. And I remember once, I was taking prasad in their house, and I was noticing that they would take their prasad without touching the food or anything, even the spoon, with their left hand. Sometimes we take things with our left hand, but they were just only using the right hand. So that shows that how sincerely they have retained the Vedic culture. So in this way, they have maintained a very pristine culture. And these people, so many such people, so many such very, very important families had been affected by Srila Prabhupada. I even remember the Birla family, which is another very rich family in India. They were very much affected by Srila Prabhupada. B.K. Birla was very fond of Srila Prabhupada. And once Srila Prabhupada was speaking to Birla's cousin, Chidi Birla's nephew, and Prabhupada was giving an example. He was asking, why are you just saying, telling everybody to chant Hare Krishna? He actually meant, why don't you do some benevolent work to uplift? So, meaning, why don't you open hospital and so forth? Then Prabhupada told him that, look, you are if one of your sons, like Birla families, if one of your children becomes mad and leaves home, he wouldn't know who he is, because when one becomes mad, he doesn't have any memory, he doesn't have any recollection who he is. So he goes away from home and he doesn't know who he is, and others also don't know who he is. So how difficult will be his life? Just to get some food, probably he'll have to beg from door to door. People will humiliate him, people will laugh at him, people will beat him, people will harass him. Now if you see him in that condition, if you see Birla's son in that condition, will you just give him 5 rupees and tell him just have some milk? Or will you tell him, oh, what are you doing here? You are Birla's son. So come, I'll take you to your father. So Prabhupada said, that's what our business is. We see that everyone is a children of Krishna. Everyone has a relationship with Krishna. But because they have rejected Krishna, because they have forgotten Krishna, they're suffering in this material nature. And we are simply trying to remind them about their lost relationship with their loving father. And by establishing that relationship, their life will become perfect. All the problems will be solved. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada very wonderfully used to preach to the people. And I have seen whoever came in contact with Srila Prabhupada became so deeply affected. So anyway, now is the Deity Greek Arati. And after the Arati, there will be a dance performed by our girls here, the young girls. So please stay, we'll make some arrangements for that dance performance, which was supposed to be in the auditorium, but then we decided to have it here only. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.